Here is a wonderful artist, Matt Netheim, photographer. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hello, Peter. Thanks for having me.
You do. How long have you been at this?
Oh, look, I've been a photographer for 25 years.
Wonderful.
I discovered it when I was about 16 or 17 and loved it, and I still love it to this day.
Your brother's a film director.
My brother is a film director, yeah.
And what's he directed?
He is actually, good question, because he has actually directed a film called The Hunter that has just been selected to go into the Toronto Film Festival, starring Willem Dafoe.
Oh, I see.
So this is his first feature that's come out. He's been doing a lot of television, and it looks like it's going to be a successful film.
You do a lot of stills photography for movies.
That's correct.
Practically every Australian movie. A lot with Rolf de Heer. He also did Australian Rules, A Little Fish with Cate Blanchett, wonderful film, and Hugo Weaving. What else?
On a good year, I might work on three or four films. Ones that, important films, have been Rabbit Proof Fence, in the sense that it was a breakthrough film for me, a larger film that kind of launched me onto to bigger projects. But look, there's not a lot better than working with Rolf de Heer on a film. He's a great filmmaker and a lovely man. I've just finished working with him on The King Is Dead.
Yes, this is a film he made in a house somewhere.
In a house in Croydon, we moved in and took over three houses pretty much. The neighbours got involved and we made what was a wonderful film, another great experience working with Rolf.
I loved his silent movie that he did, Dr. Plonk.
Dr. Plonk.
I like that film. He's a good spirit, Rolf de Heer.
He's a great
generous character. How long are you on the set for?
Look, on a small Australian film, they might have a photographer on maybe a couple of days a week. On a larger budget film, they'll have me on full time. They'll have a stills person on full time. These images are all relating to the publicity side of the film. So they don't need thousands and thousands of images. They need a really interesting collection of 50 to 100 images to sell the film on. So,
and you're part of the crew.
Very much a small part of a large crew.
Yep.
But I'm privileged in the sense that the stills photographer is very much on the front line of interacting with the actors and the director and standing around the camera.
And film is hurry up and wait, isn't it?
It very much is hurry up and wait.
And you've done a series of some of the people you've worked with doing Hacky Sack.
Correct, yeah. My celebrity Hacky Sack series is a work in progress. I'm a passionate Hacky Sack player and have been for years, and I come across my fellow sackers on a regular basis on film sets, and they
it's a little sort of like bean bag, isn't it?
Yeah, hacky sack's a small bean bag that's kicked around amongst kind of people to keep the ball off the ground.
Yes,
it's a social game, it's non competitive, and it tends to fit quite nicely after lunch on a film set.
There you are, and I see even Kylie Minogue.
Kylie's in the collection, Jamie Bell, who played Billy Elliot. It's something that I think will improve with time, and providing I don't get crippled by arthritis, I'll keep going with it into my later years.
Give them something to do. I remember there was a famous New York photographer whose name escapes me. Now, was it Richard Avedon? But he did a thing. Everybody he photographed in his studio, he asked them to jump in the air, and as they jumped, he'd take a photo of them. So he had this whole, he had everybody in the world practically in a jumping shot. And some people, of course, could barely get off the ground. And there was an extraordinary story that someone who was the most sedentary person possible managed to jump the highest of all and surprised everybody. But these are quirks, I suppose, that a photographer does. You also, as an artist, have done various series which you have exhibited. Old Men Who Get Around on Old Bikes. That's a lovely idea. Loft Beds of Share Houses, and two marijuana series.
Yep.
One backyard marijuana crops, and one which was very controversial, hydroponic marijuana rooms.
Yes. Look, when it was something that I noticed about Adelaide, that there was a lot of kids with backyard crops. I moved in, I documented this phenomenon. It was a quirky body of work that attracted some interest. The hydroponic series was a bit controversial. It was shut down by the police, but not because of the marijuana, because there was a nude man in one of the photos. It was a strange twist. The image, his penis needed to be covered up by a small piece of tape, if I remember correctly, and the show was allowed to go on.
And he was an adult?
He was an adult.
What? was that? Where was it? Where were you exhibiting it?
Well, it could have been the problem that I've always exhibited in the street windows of the shop Miss Gladys Simtune, which is on Rundle Street. Right. And I like this space a lot because it's lit, it's 24 hours, people can pop in whenever they want.
Yep.
It kind of gets away from the gallery type environment. And so it was there for the public to see, but it was barely, it wasn't offensive, let me put it that way.
This was in 2000.
Yes.
And where is this? Now you've done television sets, discarded television sets, and where will this be exhibited, Matt?
Once again, at 235 Rundle Street, Miss Gladys Simtune.
Yes, in the window. There were two windows there. And you take it inside or just in the windows?
Well, I'm going to take over one whole side of the window, so hopefully it picks up the people's attention from the street and then they can wander in and take their time over it.
Now, you've done, it's called Upturned Discarded Televisions, and as we drive around, we are seeing more and more old, as people update to flat screens and plasmas and IUDs or whatever they're called. What are they called? LED. IUD something. Which I haven't. I still have a, look, my friends of mine had an enormous, I don't know what television it was, and they had it for about 5 minutes, no longer works. I've had to replace it with another enormous one. I rented a television in 1999 and then eventually bought it. It's still perfectly all right. Yes.
Okay.
So I did, well, yes. So I'm very proud of that.
You've done well.
I've done well. Now, but if I upgraded, of course, I would have to stick it out on the... There's not much else you can do with it. You can wait for hard rubbish.
I think the council has attempted to introduce a scheme which they, by paying a small amount of money, they will process your electronic goods properly. You can pay the amount of money or you can just sneak out in the night and dump it at the vacant lot across the street, which tends to be the practice and one that caught my attention.
But people put them on the... on the sidewalk, on the footpath rather, or the verge of the nature strip, and they sit there and then they go. But I suppose there's not a lot of demand for them. You know, I remember hearing about this in the 90s, that it happened in Japan, and feeling vaguely shocked about the sort of affluence of that people would put things like that out that were perfectly good to be taken away. And now it's happening all the time here.
It's a phenomenon of the time. I mean, I started the collection about 5 years ago, and it certainly had its golden age about a year ago when the digital transmission came through, and the streets of Adelaide were flooded with these televisions.
Yes, they were.
Snapping away
and
frantically.
You weren't looking for them; it was just by chance.
Look, I'm a bike rider, so I'm aware. We had a little discussion before. I notice hard rubbish.
Yep.
I notice rubbish in the street. The image of a television sitting on the median strip out the front of the house, which supposedly it's been kicked out of, was something that grabbed my attention. I thought it was a loaded metaphor, and so I started collecting them.
It is a loaded metaphor. And they're usually upside down, aren't they?
Well, strangely enough, they became more... I noticed more upside down ones recently. Like in the beginning, there'll be one upside down or sitting on a chair or in an unorthodox position, maybe one in five. Nowadays, I'm finding there's three in five are upturned.
And the remotes are never with them.
I've seen a few remotes, as a general rule, they're not. And there's also people who are getting around often before I have a chance and smashing them open and getting parts out of them. So there's other people pursuing these televisions out there.
You see computers a lot, the old-fashioned computers. And, of course, there is gold in the board, isn't there? Yes, I've seen it being extracted at recycled places. Okay.
I wasn't actually quite sure what they were ripping out, but a lot of the televisions, I'll see them in the morning and they'll be sitting upright and whole, and I'll come back in the evening and they'll be ripped apart and half in the gutter. So someone's getting something out of them.
Perhaps it's a computer board. And then, of course, if it were a working television, that ruins it. Because the trouble is opportunity shops can't take electrical goods, for fear of them being faulty and all of that. So, really, what do you do with them? You stick them out on the street. Or, I suppose, wait for hard rubbish. But these people haven't in the case. How long did it take you to find all these?
Well, look, I've been doing it for 5 years. I started by photographing all of them, and then there was literally just too many. And I also thought the ones that were upturned were more interesting. So I've ended up with a collection of 70 in my final group, and they're all
South Australia?
All Adelaide suburbs.
Right.
Very much. And you can tell the whole series is Adelaide. It's almost like a historical document of Adelaide, the houses, the colours, the fences.
And I love that. I love that kind of suburban, the look of the suburban architecture. I love.
It's been really interesting. I mean, I was never so aware of different types of bitumen surfaces and gutters and all those subtleties that are there. But
You plan to join these into one sort of long panorama, as though it were one long street.
Yes, look, I've taken all the photos from pretty much the same type of position to be across the street and to get the house in, which has enabled me to now stitch them all together into what is essentially a seamless street of houses with a discarded upturned telly out the front of everyone.
Now, you're not selling this, or do you sell prints? Or?
It's a difficult one to sell. Yes. These series, I've never sold anything, to tell the truth. This one is up for sale as part of the Sulla on sale.
Right.
We'll see if anyone is interested enough to buy a 15-metre print of discarded televisions. I mean,
it would be like the Duray panorama. It's extraordinary. And are they all colour?
They're all colour. They're all taken on a little compact camera that's always on me. So it's very much about, it's the image quality is great, but it's more about the subject.
Can you still get a Polaroid?
You can.
Can you?
Yeah. Some people are actually investing some money into getting it all up and the stock out again.
Are they?
There's a real resurgence in old styles of photography, in film and larger format cameras. And there's a lot of artists getting right back into the old technology.
Do you?
Look, I'm very, very digital. I still have my own film gear. I shoot some portraits on a Hasselblad, but I love digital. And I, thanks to Rolf Dehue, we've been shooting digital on film sets since it came out. And I love Photoshop, so I'm very much a digital photographer.
Is it less wasteful? But it's a completely different developing process, isn't it?
It's
computerized. But is it similar?
It is. I mean, for me, it was always about the image and not the process of achieving that image. Just getting it's actually a lot easier to get a sharp, in-focus image as your starting point these days. It is less wasteful. It also, I mean, when you're at film school or art school, you shoot a lot of photography, and each time you look at your images, you learn something and you grow from that. And that process is just speeded up because you're able to shoot so much more and learn those lessons.
Matt Netheim is my guest, a photographic artist. You've been a photojournalist too, Sydney Morning Herald Bulletin.
That's correct. I came out of art school wanting to be a photojournalist and was lucky enough to get a job in Sydney on The Australian, which led me back to Adelaide, where I continued to work for The Australian and The Bulletin. But it wasn't my calling, I feel. I wasn't a great photojournalist, and stills was offered to me. And I now pretty much specialise in performance art photography, so I'm doing a lot of theatre, a lot of dance.
Yes.
I do quite a lot of Adelaide festival type photography.
Good. And David Wilson is a leader here. He's a wonderful photographer for the performing arts, And because that's a different skill. Yeah, I've known good photographers are hopeless doing that, but it's a knack too, isn't it?
It is. I seem to always be working with actors and performers for some reason.
You must like them.
Well, I don't actually talk to them a great deal. I just seem to sort of be in their space. But like a lot of these types of photography, they're quite specialised and need a little bit of specialist equipment and a bit of knowledge to really build on. And I'm a terrible sports photographer, but that's a really tricky thing for me. And bird photography is one of the hardest I've tried.
But you have a beautiful shot of is it a crow on the top of St. Mary's Peak?
Yeah, correct.
You crawled up there.
Crawled up there with big cameras and...
And waited for a crow.
I was lucky.
there is a lot of luck in it, isn't there?
There's a lot of luck, but having a camera on your body at all times...
Yes.
It helps. You can improve your luck.
Matt, I wish you well with this, and you can see it for free, of course, in the window of Miss Gladys Simtune, an emblematic location in the Cappuccino Canyon, which is Rundle Street, and during sale. Is it there now?
It goes up on Friday.
There you go. I look forward to seeing it, and I admire you very much, Matt, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Peter.